Yeah, hey, you are tuned into the Cannabis Corner. My name is Lucas Barfield. Thanks so much for tuning in. This is a show where you talk about cannabis news and cannabis topics and just try to get the information on out there about what is going on in the world of cannabis, aka marijuana or hemp. Thanks so much for tuning in again, and this is 2018, so hope everybody's having a great new year. If you would like to follow me on Twitter to kind of get some more information on what's going on in the world of cannabis, you can follow me at MJIsMedicine. And I am a cannabis writer and reporter. You can find a lot of my work over at ganjapreneurs.com and cannabisfinancialnetwork.com, as well as at Radio Tacoma and on YouTube as well, some things I do related to cannabis. You can also find my nonprofit that I work with at MJ is Medicine on Facebook, the Medical Marijuana Coalition of Washington State. So I am involved in cannabis a lot here in the state of Washington, and would just like to thank the people of Washington of actually getting cannabis legal here in the state and all the activists and people who have worked so hard up to this point to get cannabis legal in Washington State. It is truly a privilege to have this here in Washington. And I don't know if people that – I don't really know if people who are from here know how lucky they are to have legal cannabis here, because other places in the country – is more sort of like a police state. And this week, California made the big step of starting legal cannabis, adult use cannabis in California. So now in California, they have the shops where anyone over 21 can go in and buy a certain amount of cannabis. It's, they set up to an ounce of flower. I'm not quite so sure about the concentrates and everything, but I'm sure they're pretty similar to Washington State. And one good thing that California did do is they did preserve their medical marijuana system or their medical cannabis system when they switched over to retail or adult use cannabis. They did not do that here in Washington, and many people still are shaking their heads, including myself, to try to figure out why that is. Instead, the legislator took a giant hammer known as the Cannabis Patient Protection Act, or as I like to call it, the Cannabis Patient Pain and Suffering Act, and they smashed the previous system here in Washington State and then rebuilt a new system. So they didn't do that in California. They didn't do it in Nevada. They didn't do it anywhere else in the United States. They just, and so their laws are going on the books a lot quicker than we did than here in Washington. And also medical cannabis in California are not getting the short end of the stick like they did here in Washington State. They still have their large possession limits. Like, for instance, in California, you can still, as a medical cannabis patient, buy a half a pound of cannabis. That is 8 ounces. Now, that's a lot, and that's a lot of money, too. Now, you're sitting there going, well, why would somebody need 8 ounces of cannabis? Well, a couple years ago, I met someone down in Olympia at a hearing, and I don't remember the lady's name or anything or what she was, where she was from or anything, but she had a brain tumor. And I spoke with her, and she was using 1 ounce of cannabis per day to manage that brain tumor. So that is a lot, and there's a lot of THC in there working on that tumor and working on that cancer. Typically, people who are treating cancer or very serious ailments, especially cancer, with cannabis, want to use at least 1 ounce per day. That boils down to about a gram of FICO, full plant cannabis extract, and or a gram of other kind of extract. So that is a lot of cannabis. So when people are saying, oh, why can they get 8 ounces? That's so much. That's too much. You really need to just take a, you know, get your information and take a look at exactly what is going on. Because to you or me, 8 ounces of cannabis is a lot. To someone who is about to die of cancer, 8 ounces of cannabis is not a lot. That's about a week's worth. So, you know, we really need to look to be a little more compassionate here in Washington State, maybe get our plant limits back and some of the things that have been taken away from medical cannabis patients. But, yeah, I'm sort of kind of getting into my medical cannabis activism work, and I really want to go ahead and just get right into the headlines right now. So, again, you can follow me at MJIsMedicine if you'd like to know a little bit more about myself and what's going on in the cannabis industry and out there in the world of cannabis and medical cannabis. So, the first story we have is in Denver, they shut down a bunch of cannabis shops last month. They went through and they arrested 12 people, and they shut down 26 shops. This was a long-term sort of drug sting, and the main thing they were getting people for is illegal distribution and exceeding purchase limits. So just like we were talking about, if you're a medical cannabis patient, you can buy a certain amount, and if you're a regular person over 21, you can buy a certain amount. Well, apparently these shops were selling over the limit. So they were selling maybe a pound to medical cannabis patients and maybe quarter pounds or pounds to just regular people coming in off the streets, which is a no-no according to the law. And then because, you know, just the way cannabis is not really, it hasn't been sufficiently enough regulated and it's not widespread enough as far as stores go, those people were taking that and selling it out on the illicit market. And this is the first time that this happened. This is the first time this has happened since 2014 that they put a indefinite suspension on shops there in Colorado. So what they are doing is these states, and Oregon's doing it too, and Washington's doing it too, they are basically kind of buddying up to Jeff Sessions to try and keep the federal government from cracking down on them. So there are a lot of these raids and busts going on, and this is trying to back up what's called the Cole Memo, which was an Obama-era policy that says, hey, if you guys do this, this, and this, we will keep the hands off of your cannabis industry there in your state. And it just so happens that one of those is cannabis coming from the legal market leaking into the illicit market. So this is actually down on paper of something the federal government is looking to crack down on. So, you know, the way I feel about it, if the regulations are out there and the laws are out there, then you have the privilege to own a retail cannabis shop, that you really need to follow the regulations and, you know, follow the law, or else you're going to have problems. So that's what's happening in Denver. So this is something California is also ahead of a lot of the country on. They are in the law that just passed that made adult use recreational cannabis legal. It just actually went into effect yesterday on January 1st. In that law, there's also a provision that says that they will get rid of your marijuana conviction. And they apparently have something here in Washington that I'm trying to find out about, but it's hard to find information on this stuff. But it's not like an expungement process where you have to go and get an attorney and go through all this big process. You just file a petition, and then they just get rid of your conviction. So they're trying to do this to correct the harm caused by the war on drugs. It's a big problem. It affects mostly minority communities and communities of color out there. In the past 10 years in California, this is a shocking statistic. There's been 500,000 people arrested for cannabis in California in the past 10 years. They've had 4,500 people already file petitions to get their cannabis convictions evacuated. Maryland, Oregon, and Vermont, they already do this where you can file a petition to get your slate wiped clean, but not in Washington. Washington State, at best, has some type of expungement process, but you have to get an attorney and go through a process. I have been able to find very little information on this, and when I find some more, I'll get it out there to you. But Washington does need something like this too. That if you were convicted for a cannabis crime, let's say in the past 20 years, and it fits within the new legal framework, then you should be able to get that cannabis conviction taken off your record, because that is basically the state admitting that they made a mistake by having cannabis illegal in the first place, which is true and is a good thing. And this goes a long way to healing the rift in communities between their government and their communities, because there has been a rift, and a lot of it has to do with the drug war, and a lot of it has to do with the drug war on cannabis. And it's just sort of the fact that a lot of people do use marijuana or cannabis, and that there's just been such a big crackdown on it that it has affected so many lives. So good job, California, trying to get a handle on this. So this next story also, it takes place in California, but I reported on a story about this in New Hampshire couple of weeks ago. In California, the feds say, so what that marijuana is legal there in California? We can bust you on the interstate anyway. And so what they're still doing is setting up checkpoints on the interstate between San Diego and Los Angeles, trying to arrest people for getting cannabis and taking it, basically taking it east. And so it is just a waste of resources. It's legal in California, and it goes all over the country. There are these roadblocks and these checkpoints are interrupting business, and they're messing up people's days. The California, whatever happened to states' rights? The 10th Amendment says that states can pass these kind of things. But the federal government is just scared to death that all the cannabis from California is going to start going back to the east. And it already is going to the east. And they're just saying we're going to keep doing these crackdowns. But it's not working. And they really should try to take it a different approach and just stop wasting taxpayer dollars on trying to stop all these people. And in New Hampshire, like I was saying a couple weeks ago, they actually had a checkpoint from the Canadian Border Patrol about 90 miles into New Hampshire, and I think they arrested like 44-something people for just simple marijuana possession. So this is a overstep by the federal government. It's not surprising with the current administration in the office. And so we just kind of need to watch out for this. And continue to call your people in D.C. if you can to try to say, hey, let's slow down this war on cannabis, war on drugs. So we are kind of staying down in the southern part of the northern of North America, and we're kind of moving down into Central America or Mexico. And Mexico, shockingly, has taken the lead over the United States in the realm of cannabis, and as far as a country goes. Last May, they said, okay, medical marijuana is allowed in the state, in the country. And now, they said that now, or actually they legalized all cannabis in June, and now they're saying that medicine, drinks, foods, and cosmetic products can be sold widespread in Mexico. However, like Florida, they're not allowing the legal sale of cannabis flower. And, you know, as far as the cannabis flower goes, there's a bunch of different reasons they're doing that. But I think one of the big ones is it differentiates the legal cannabis from the illegal cannabis. And so you know how the government is really big into drawing lines so that they know which is which on any law. And in this case, if you're caught with just regular cannabis, then you're going to be breaking the law. But if you're caught with some cannabis cookies or cannabis lotion, then you will be within the law. Just for the fact that they know that the lotions and the balms and the medicines oftentimes take a lot more processing and is not always what the criminal gangs are doing as far as selling cannabis. Now, it's not going to work because, as we all know, the illicit market will just pick up and start making these products themselves and continue to make money. The only way to legalize cannabis is to just simply legalize it. Anytime you put, when you put these restrictions on it, you're going to just continue to have problems just for the fact that the criminal gangs and the cartels down there, they're going to make money somehow. And if you don't want them to make money on cannabis anymore, you just need to legalize it all the way. You need to drop the prices, and you need to make it widespread. Then they won't have a market or less of the market. And, by the way, you need to keep the quality up. So, you know, I predict a day soon when, especially now that California is legal, that United States cannabis might start going into Mexico, even on the illicit market. Wouldn't it be great if the United States federal government opened up cannabis and we could actually start exporting cannabis to Mexico? And some of the, because Colombia and Chile also have medical cannabis, and Canada too has medical cannabis and adult use cannabis. So we really should be putting some pressure on the federal government to open this trade up, because it would be just great to be able to put this in the list of items that we trade as commodities and just normalize it. And then everybody can go on about their business and quit getting put in prison and harassed over a plant. So yes, my name is Lucas Barfield, and you are tuned into the Cannabis Corner. And if you'd like to learn more about what I'm doing with cannabis or what's going on in the world of cannabis, you can follow me on Twitter at MJIsMedicine. Type into the same thing on Facebook, and you can find me as well. So next up, we're going to go into our topic. So we are going to do a short little introduction to cannabis and its effect on blood pressure. Now, before going any further, I always put out the disclaimer. I am not a doctor. I'm not a nurse. Frankly, I have had very, very little experience with any kind of actual physical training of how to be a nurse or a doctor. So I am not recommending you do anything with cannabis as related to blood pressure, or do anything with cannabis period as related to any part of your health. This is just simply an explanation or a rundown of what is, my phone's ringing, my apology, rundown what is going on in the world of cannabis and blood pressure and some of the research that it is out there for this. So blood pressure, as defined from the Mayo Clinic, is the amount of blood your heart is pumping as related to the constriction in your blood vessels. So as your heart pumps more blood and your blood vessels begin to thin, or they begin to constrict for a whole wide variety of reasons, your blood pressure will go up. And there's all kind of reasons for blood pressure. There's two types of blood pressure, primary. That's just your normal blood pressure as you get old. And then there's secondary blood pressure, which can be caused by so many different things, illness, disease, cardiovascular problems, diabetes, medication, drug addiction, tobacco, alcohol abuse, on and on and on. You know, doctor's visit can cause, this is research coming out now where they want you to take your blood pressure at the end of the doctor's visit when you're not so nervous. So a lot of different causes of secondary and primary blood pressure. Those are the two types. And it is a severe problem in the United States right now. It affects 1 out of 3 Americans. But there is not a lot of research into cannabis and blood pressure. There has been some, but as we know, it's a Schedule I narcotic, so it's not allowed. You can't really research it on college campuses. So the short-term effects of cannabis actually are well-known, because it doesn't take a lot of research or anything to learn the short-term effects of these things. So it is known that when you first start using cannabis, there is a rise in blood pressure and heart rate. And for those of you who have ever used cannabis for the first time, or have used it right at the beginning, or maybe perhaps you'll get a new, stronger strain, and then you'll consume it, you will notice a rise in heart rate. And although I've never taken my blood pressure, I'm sure the blood pressure rises as well. And this may happen too in stronger cannabis consumption methods like dabs and things like that. However, research also shows that once you get a tolerance to cannabis, that effect goes away. And so as you begin to use it more and more, you will start to see less and less of a rise in blood pressure and heart rate. They have also noticed that there is a lowering of blood pressure when you use some of the stronger indica strains, or the strains that make you sleepy. So there is known an anecdotal effect on blood pressure from cannabis. So, you know, everybody knows about the couch lock and cannabis slowing you down and making you sleepy. So it's known that during that time, your blood pressure actually is lowered as well. So there has been some research recently that shows that in your body, you have what's called your endocannabinoid system. And in there are natural cannabinoids that your body releases. One of them is anandamide, and that is released in your body. And it has been shown that that cannabinoid, or endocannabinoid, and it's endo because it's inside your body, I guess a cannabis cannabinoid would be an exocannabinoid. The endocannabinoids regulate blood pressure in your body. And so it's thought that by stimulating your cardiovascular system with cannabis externally, or exocannabinoids, that will lower your blood pressure. So that kind of makes sense. Your body's own cannabinoids lower your blood pressure. So if you use cannabinoids outside your body, that also could lower your blood pressure. And there is more research needs to be done into that. Now, this next study they came out with recently is a bit more is actually way more scientific and has some promising results when it comes to cannabis and blood pressure. This was a double-blind, placebo-controlled study. I think I might have left off a couple words as far as the how great the research study was, but this is a really strong research study. And they took 9 individuals, and they put them to stress tests, cold stress test, a exercise stress test, and a mental stress test. And in all cases, they gave them 600 milligrams of CBD or 600 milligrams of placebo. And then for all cases, when they gave the CBD before, after, and during, this did lower blood pressure in all cases of stress, especially they say cold stress. So that shows that CBD, which is cannabinol cannabidiol, or some people call it cannabidiol. So that is one of the chemical constituents of cannabis, CBD, and you can find it in the stores, and you can find it online a lot of times. They say it's legal around the United States. There's a lot of conflicting information out there about that. But it has been shown that this molecule, a very strong anti-inflammatory molecule that they have actually known since the 1960s, this molecule used will lower stress, which we all know stress is a cause of, it could be either primary blood pressure, so you're just stressed out over your life, decades, blood pressure is going to be higher, or it could be secondary stress, secondary blood pressure is a rise in secondary blood pressure is caused by, just immediate stress, your kids or whatever's going on in your life. So that is great news as far as those out there who are taking CBD. This could be a way to help with your blood pressure. And so next up, I wanted to get out another study, but this is one I just want to kind of have you aware of in case you come across it online or you hear something about it. It was not a very good study like the previous. It was not a great study like the previous study, and they just looked at the data from a health study. And it came up and said that people who use cannabis were 3 times more likely to die from high blood pressure. And actually, every year of cannabis use increases your likelihood of dying of some type of blood pressure-related disease 1.04 times every year of cannabis use. And this study, again, was not a good study. It has been widely criticized by experts. It was in the Georgia School of Public Health, which at Georgia State University. Frankly, not really known for its cannabis research. So it is suspect out there. So one of the results that did come out of it, too, is kind of it conflicts with the other result. It says that there is no link to cannabis use in any other cardiovascular disease like stroke or heart attack or any other thing. So there's kind of conflicting evidence there in that study. So I just wanted to kind of make you aware of that in case you hear about that. People will say, oh, well, cannabis makes your blood pressure rise. You're 3 times more likely to die. That is a suspect study. So just kind of getting that information out there. And just in my own personal time, my own personal life, anytime I have had my blood pressure checked and using cannabis, I've never had any kind of problem with that. Doctor's always like, wow, your blood pressure's perfect. So, it's just a sort of a side note there. So that is the topic for today on cannabis use and blood pressure. And again, I'm not a doctor, and I'm not recommend if you have blood pressure problems going out there getting cannabis to try to regulate that. If you do choose to do that, please talk to your doctor. So we're going to get out of here with our final little segment of the show, and that is our It's a Bus segment. And this one comes from Copenhagen. A Danish man in Copenhagen, and I didn't even know this, they have a libertarian or they have an anarchist sort of enclave there in Copenhagen called Christianity or Christentinia or something like that. And this guy was coming out of there, and he was such a hurry that he jumped in the police car, and he had 1,000 joints on him. And he got in the police car, and once he got in, he thought it was a taxi. The police were like, "Hey, how's it going?" And he was arrested for having 1,000 joints, and he could face some jail time. And it's just bad news. So next time you go to get into a taxi and you got 1,000 joints on there on you, just double check to make sure it's not a police car, because that could be some problems. I mean, how long does it take to roll 1,000 joints? So yeah, my name is Lucas Barfield, and thanks so much for tuning in to my show, Cannabis Corner. Again, you can follow me at MJ Is Medicine on Twitter and Facebook. So have a good day, and bye-bye.